Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. Lift your hands to the Lord if you're comfortable and just worship Him. Thank you, Lord, that you set us free from fear. Thank you that you set us free from all anxiety and worry and dread, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord. You know what? I feel so strong in this room. If you're with someone today, just grab their hand. I just feel like God is breaking the power of fear and anxiety. There are so many things that we do in life, that we face in life, that are normal difficulties, but then fear just tries to get into that. Fear tries to get into our money. Fear tries to get into our relationships. Anxieties, and I tell you, I discern a wave of fear that has tried to come against people. And I break it in the name of Jesus. I command the fear to leave our marriage relationships. I command the fear to leave our physical body concerning sickness, disease. We break that fear of sickness, suffering, pain, and death. Lord, even fears concerning our children has been said before in this service. But there are some parents and grandparents in this room that are dreading what is going to happen to their children. And Lord, we take authority over that fear and that anxiety, and we declare that God has not given to us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And concerning our children, we declare they will be blessed of the Lord Most High. Lord, all our family members, those that are in need, Lord, those that are lost, we surrender our fear and our anxiety. And Lord, we lift up our prayer for them, but we just can't be afraid anymore, Lord. We have to be delivered of our fears, Lord. Thank you, Father, for breaking the power of anxiety in our work life. People are facing fear in the job environment, the competitive environment here in Silicon Valley. And there's fear that just tries to get in there. And we break that fear in the marketplace, Lord. We thank you for the peace that passes understanding, and that, Lord, your favor will raise us up, Lord. That we can do what you have called us to do in this place. We can live, Lord, abundant lives right here in this city, Lord. Because you will prosper your people, Lord. In the midst of all kinds of trials, Lord. Father, we thank you for the deepest peace. Holy Spirit, just come and touch it right where you are. Just in the cafe, online, wherever you are, lift your hands and receive the peace of God. It's going to settle down in you like a river, like you've never felt. Lord, we thank you for peace concerning everything for our future. All that you're doing right now, Lord, let it hold us together. We receive it. We rejoice, Lord. You're so good to us. We love you so much, Lord. Thank you for your reassurance in this service today, Lord. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You all just take a seat and shout for the worship team on your way down. Amen. Good job, guys. We've got 30 interns right now. In reality, I want the interns to stand up. All the interns, you guys that are here, would you look at our young interns? You guys are special. You're awesome. I think I'm coming to talk to you this week. And Pastor Jordan and April and all the youth leaders are doing a great job. Give our young people a hand. They're in our series with us right now. I'm excited about the message today. I want to get to it in just a minute. I want to welcome everybody that's here in the sanctuary and cafe and online. It's just so great for us to be able to breathe the same air and hear the same words, and for our hearts to be knit together by the word of the Lord. We've been talking for about 6 weeks now on the theme of heart and soul, and how greatness begins on the inside of us, and the call that every one of us has is to serve. And it means so much to me, you know, just to be able to minister this message to us, this series, and those that have helped me to share this series on all four of our locations. It's coming home to me personally. What does it mean to serve the Lord? Why do I do whatever I do? And my motive is I'm remembering why I got into this. It's doing me good. And at the same time, it's giving me a fresh appreciation for all of you that are serving, for all of you that are doing the hard work of raising your children and manning the stations of ministry here in our church, and everybody that's engaged, everyone that's pursuing, and you're serving. And it makes me appreciate you, and I want to say thank you to you. And I was thinking early this morning, you know, about some of the all-time great servants, and none of these people are here today, but I thought of three people. I thought of Brother Mike Madreau, who volunteered at our church starting at the age of 75, and he worked as a volunteer in our church until he was 87 years old, vacuuming and cleaning and emptying the garbages. He said to us again and again, "If you try to pay me, I'll find another church." He said, "This is my service to the Lord. If you try to pay me, I will quit this church and go somewhere where they'll let me do it for free." I think about Mike at 87 years old and how strong he was. And, you know, did he get into the children's snacks sometimes when he shouldn't have? Yes, he did. Did he smell a lot like garlic? Yes, he did. But that guy was a special guy. And then I think about, some of you would know Dory and Jenny Peters, who for decades were intercessors. And Jenny's in heaven, and Dory's in a convalescent care home. She's very happy, but for years and years, they served. They would walk the aisles of this church, Saturday prayer, and they would touch every single chair. And they would pray. They would come to our house and pray over Kathy and I. They served us. They helped us in our home. They served the people of God, counseling by the hour. They had the heart and soul of servants. They were very, very special people. And probably the greatest volunteer that I've ever met in my life is Sister C, Shirley Canastracy, my aunt, Apostle C's wife, who never got paid a dime in all the years that she was a pastor's wife. She did everything. How many potlucks, how many weddings, how many baby showers did she do? How many times did she open her home to bring the saints in and love on them and serve them and new members' teas and all kinds of events, 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 events. And she never, ever, ever complained. She led the women's retreats. I mean, she did so much major leadership in the church, and never accepted a dime. I don't think anybody ever offered a dime. I think they just thought, well, you're the pastor's wife. You should do, you know, tons and tons of work. And she never complained, and she always did it for the Lord. And I'm learning in my life to follow the greatness of great servants, trying to be like them when I grow up and cultivate that heart that says, "Jesus, I'm doing this for you. This is my worship. This is my love for you. This is why I do what I do. It's in my heart and soul." How many want to be a great servant in the kingdom of God? Greatness begins inside with that thing that says, "I just want to do it for the Lord." And boy, I've really enjoyed this series. I want to finish the series today by inviting you, every single person listening to me, to come to the door. I'm going to explain what I mean by coming to the door in a minute, but let me bring you to the 21st chapter of Exodus, where we will read about the Bible ritual, the Old Testament ritual of coming to the door. It says, "If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years. And in the seventh year, he will go out free and pay nothing. But if the servant plainly says," say this with me, I love my master. Say that part with me. I love my... If the servant says that, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him where? To the door or to the doorpost. And his master shall pierce his ear with an awl. And he shall serve him. He shall serve him. He shall serve him forever. There's a parallel passage to this if you're a student of the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 15. But here's the most unusual story that I want to explain to us in just a minute. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about my oldest son, Aaron, who I love very much. I don't know if Aaron is here. He might be in the cafe. But Aaron was an earring guy all of his life. I mean, from the fourth grade, he wanted an earring. In fact, one day, as I picked him up from Christian school, where they wear uniforms, the principal met me at my car and said, "Pastor Canastracy, could you please tell your son, who's in the fourth grade at the time, to stop making earrings out of paper clips and wearing them in order to look cool?" I guess he had older friends and guys were wearing earrings and he wanted to. And I said, "Aaron, you can't. Look, son, you're not getting an earring. You go to Christian school, they won't allow it. And you can't, I mean, maybe when you're 18. Well, boy, did I regret that. Because on his 18th birthday, he came knocking to dad and he wanted the ear. There was actually a time where I also wanted to wear an earring. I don't know if some of you are old enough to remember the movie Serpico. But Al Pacino was the coolest. And he had that earring and he had that 70s look. And it was just like, I'm going to get an earring. Well, this passage isn't about fashion. It's not even really about an earring so much as it is the piercing of an ear. And why the piercing of an ear? Not for a fashion statement, for a deeply meaningful statement that I believe is going to speak right to your heart and right to your life. What is this passage about? The meaning of this ear-piercing ritual that God gave in the Old Testament law is an instruction for converting a bondservant into a love servant. How do you become someone who was forced to serve, and how that converts into someone who chooses to serve because he loves his master? And that is a rich parable for us today, to become love servants for the Lord. The people of Israel had just been delivered from slavery. You say, "Why are you teaching about slavery? Aren't we as a church against human trafficking? Man, we don't want that. And why would God want anyone to be in slavery?" This was a very different kind of slavery. Please don't get this 3,500-year-old form of slavery that God allowed confused with any kind of modern slavery that is so degrading. This slavery was different because actually slaves would say, "I don't want to go anywhere. This is so good." This was a 7-year course of service that people would do to work off debt that they had no other means of getting ahead in life. This was their only option. And so they would voluntarily sell themselves into slavery. And there were rules about how kind you had to be and so on and so forth. You say, would God want slavery? Actually, God had delivered his children from slavery in Egypt at the time of this passage. He had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. So he certainly wasn't instituting a new form of slavery. What he was saying, in essence, is my people are never going to be bound again. They can only serve 7 years, and after that, they have to be set free, no matter if the debt is paid or not. You will never, ever, ever enslave my people. And he said, we're setting it up different. And this was radical for the day. So God was showing his love and his justice. But in the midst of this, I don't want to talk about human trafficking because we know that God would not be for that. What I want to show you is this choice that this servant made. He had served 7 years, and now he has a choice to go free or to sign up for the rest of his life. And he makes the choice, I'll stay because of love. And today I want to tell you that you and I have to make a choice about why we're serving the Lord. Because there's two kinds of Christians. People that follow the Lord because they have to. You know, the avoiding hell kind of Christian. You know, I just don't want to go to hell. That's why I got saved. Or there's those who follow the Lord, who serve the Lord because they love him. And my invitation to you today is to become the kind of a person who chooses to serve God out of love and not out of necessity. We must freely choose to serve out of love for our master. So let me ask you three questions. Why the door? Why an ear? And why piercing? Let's see if we can unpack this. And does the Old Testament, does a passage from Exodus chapter 19 from the life of Israel, does that have anything to do with us today? Paul the Apostle says yes, because it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, here's the reason we study the Old Testament. Here's the things that God did in the life of Israel and what they mean for us today. All these things happened, the apostle said, to show us something. Now, I hope you came to church today so that God could show you something. Something that you need for your life. These things happen to show us something. They are written to teach us. So today we're going to learn some of the ways of God and the ways of the kingdom of God, not about buying and selling household servants, but about the way that God wants us to serve. So let's get into this. Three things about the door that I am inviting you to. Number one, what is the door? The door is first and foremost a place of permanent, lifelong service. God is calling you to give your life to him at this place called the door. Here's how the ritual would go. Let's start with the ear piercing. The servant who loved his master and chose to serve him for a lifetime would come to a door frame. His ear, the flesh of his earlobe, would be pressed against that door frame, and a tool would be used to pierce the ear. Now, I've never had an ear pierced. By the way, is that as painful as it looks? Because I'm terrified of anything piercing my... Is it hurt, Pastor Kim, to have your ear pierced? It does. Like on a scale of 1 to 10. Is it a 10 or is it like a 2 or... It's like a 5. Okay, it's uncomfortable, right? All right. I don't want it. I do everything I can do to avoid discomfort. I'm like you, all right? So, but it wouldn't damage a person, would it? An ear, people get their ears pierced all the time. It's not a damaging thing. It's something that would create a mark. It's something that would create a memory. It's something that would probably create a scar. Because they didn't put an earring in. It didn't say, get an earring. It just said, pierce the ear. Whenever you pierce flesh, it makes a scar. And I think what I want to say to us today about this coming to the door process and what that servant went through was God is saying, I want to put a mark on you. And whenever somebody sold themselves for a lifetime of service, they said, I love my master. I'm coming to the door. We're going to go through this ritual. There was a piercing that created a scar so that every time that scar was seen, people knew that a choice had been made. People knew that that guy or that gal was serving out of a choice. They weren't being held against their will. But that scar actually spoke something about their service. I think about the Lord Jesus. He was a man whose love and service to God cost him some scars in his body. In fact, in John 20, those scars were a source of great comfort. And they spoke something. Jesus came after the resurrection to the disciples, and he showed them his hands and his sides. Have you ever stopped to think about Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, now a glorified body, a resurrected body that still has scars? Why would God not fix the scars? I mean, he raised him from the dead. If you're going to have a perfect body, let's go all the way, right? Get rid of the scars. But see, scars speak. And when the disciples saw the scars on Jesus, they were filled with joy because they said, that scar is like the Old Testament scar of the person who came to the door. That scar is telling me that Jesus made a choice out of love. He made a choice out of love for you and for me to lay his life down on a cross. And baby, we don't want those scars to disappear. We want to look at them and touch them and remind ourselves of everything that Jesus has done for us. When we look at his scars, we know the choice that he made. When we look at his scars, we know the decision that he made when he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus came to the door. And he received the scars. Scars can be powerful testimonies of a deep work that God does in and through our lives. Paul the Apostle is another person who made a decision. I believe Paul the Apostle came to the door. Because look what he says in Galatians chapter 6. He writes this, let no one interfere with me after this. I carry on my scarred body the marks of my owner, Jesus the Lord. Paul had been whipped. He had been beaten. It cost that brother something to say yes to the will of God in his life. And people would harass him. And they would say, you're not an apostle. You don't have authority. You're just in this for the money, they said to him. And you know what he said to them? Stop trying to interfere with my life. I rebuke the shame that you're trying to put on me. You want to know what I'm all about? You want to know what's in my heart and soul? Let no one interfere with me. I carry on my body the marks of the Lord. I'm doing this because I love Jesus. And I've got the scars to prove it. Some of you have scars. Scars because of the decision that you've made to serve the Lord. You lost a friend. You lost an opportunity at work, perhaps. You turned something down because you said, no, I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And it left a mark on your life. This is a little painful. It's not totally damaging. It's just a flesh wound. But you know what I've learned, guys? I've learned in my life, and I've got a few scars serving the Lord all these years. Mostly it's been pure blessing, but there's moments that have left a mark on my life. And I look back at those moments of failure or brokenness or just the cost of serving the Lord, and I have no regrets. I look at my scars, and you should look at your scars as badges of honor, as something that speaks about your decision to follow the Lord. I've learned this. I've learned the difference between hurt and harm. Not everything that hurts you harms you. In fact, there are some things that are uncomfortable, that hurt in life, that actually make you better and make you stronger. So if you're hurting today, you say, God, why are you allowing me to hurt? I would ask you to consider if you're actually being damaged, because I don't think God is allowing you to be damaged. If you are being damaged, he'll move you out. He said, I won't let you to suffer your foot to dash against the stone. He said, I won't let you become damaged. You will drink deadly things and it will not affect you. Right? God will keep you from harm, but he won't always keep you from hurt. And sometimes life hurts. But just strengthen yourself and understand one important thing about your scars. If you have a scar, here's what I want you to understand. A scar is a mark that remains after a healing process. A scar is not the big problem that you think. It's a sign that healing has come. If you went through a divorce, you went through a bankruptcy, you went through a ministry failure, you went through a downturn in your life, and it's left a mark, I want you to know the only reason there's a mark is because God has done a healing work in your life. If you come to the Lord and you come to the door and you let it scar you and you make this decision, hey, I'm doing this for the Lord. I don't have to serve. I want to serve. And if that costs you, if that pierces your flesh, if that creates a little discomfort in your life, wear it like a badge of honor and understand that this speaks to everyone. I'm not doing this because I have to. I'm doing it because I love God and I want to. Can anybody say amen this morning? Amen. So the scar, when I say come to the door, I'm calling you. The Lord is calling you to come to the door like a person who doesn't have to. But you say, I'm coming because I love the Lord. And you take that mark. Let the mark of God touch your life. And even if a little bloodshed is involved and a little discomfort, you will live and you will serve the Lord forever. Amen. Come to the door. Serve the Lord. And let the Lord heal you if it hurts. The second thing I want to mention about the door, in calling us to the door, is that the door is a passageway to something new. God is calling every one of us to the door, which is a place where he opens up something brand new. The servant is brought to a door. Why a door? What is a door? A door is an opening to another atmosphere. A door is another is a place where you leave the old behind and you enter into something new. You walk into a new environment. How many are ready for a new environment? I'll tell you, God wants to do a brand new thing in your life, but I've noticed that every time I come to the door, God brings me to a new place. Every time I say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Yes, I'll take on responsibility. I'll come to the door and I'll do it for the right reason, Lord. I'm gonna serve because I love you and I accept more responsibility. And then God just opens up a whole new place in my life. And I move from where I was into something better and something stronger and something more glorious. How does God make a passageway into the new things in our lives? Well, the most important passageway is the new and living way that he made through Jesus, through the shed blood of Jesus when Jesus died on the cross. Does any of this sound familiar to you? Blood, a doorpost. Blood, a doorpost. Does that make you think of a story from the Old Testament? Passover, right? Where they put the blood on the doorpost. Where the children of Israel left slavery forever and entered into a new place of freedom and joy. You see, when you come to the door and you pass by the blood from your old life into the new life that God has for you, when you walk through the door by the new and living way that is Jesus Christ, you enter into a brand new life. You might think, well, I feel sorry for that guy coming to the door. Don't feel sorry for him at the door. He's ready to enter into a brand new thing that God is doing for him. And every time you make a decision to serve, God will open up a new place for you. God will do it because that's what he did. If you are saved today, you were saved by the precious shed blood of Jesus. And the shed blood of Jesus opens a door for your life. Out of the old and into a brand new life. Today, if you don't have Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you. Hebrews chapter 10, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. Jesus at one point said, I am the door. Pass through me. And here's another verse, Romans chapter 6, verse 22. Says, now you have been freed from sin and you have become what? God's slaves. What? Because you came to the door. You said, I don't have to. I want to. You have become God's slaves. This results in a holy life, finally everlasting life. The payment for sin is death. But the gift that God freely gives us is everlasting life found in Christ Jesus the Lord. Let me just say this before I move to the rest of this message. God will open new doors of opportunity when we serve Him. When we really say, Lord, this is not about me. I want to do this for you. You watch. Somebody was telling me recently about a fresh commitment that they made to the Lord and how instantly doors started opening for them. You know, sometimes you're praying and praying and praying. And you want God to do something. And while you're praying for God to do something, He's praying that you'll do something. And you come to that place of commitment. Okay, Lord, it's my turn. I'll take this next step. Lord, I'll say yes to serving you. I'll say yes to doing your will. And then the door flies open. You have no idea how powerful it is when you come to the door and say, Lord, even if it hurts, I want to commit to you. I want to come to the door so I can enter into a new place that you have for me, a place that you've made through the blood to get me out of my old and into the new. I want to come to a new place. And today, if you want your life to change, let me promise you, if you make the decision to give your heart to God, He will open a brand new door for you and you will enter into something brand new. But it only comes when you come to the door. So I invite you today to come to the door and let God open something prophetic and new for you. Come to the door and choose to serve Him. Here's the third piece. Are you getting anything out of this, church? I'm asking you to come to the door today. That means you make a lifelong commitment to Jesus. That means you move from the old into the new. And the third thing it means, the door was a place of perceiving the will of your master. So I asked a question a little bit earlier. Why an ear? Why was it an ear that was pierced? I think the ear speaks pretty clearly about listening and obeying God. And here's the thing about serving the Lord. You got to have an ear. You got to be open to listening to God. And God will speak to you. And He will talk to you. In fact, God wants to do, when you come to the door, it's like God wants to do surgery on your ear. He wants to touch. I don't know if you're the kind of a person that maybe you wouldn't like it if a stranger came and touched your ear. That's a little personal, isn't it? Like, don't be touching my ear. Even like a friend that I've known for 10 years, if you started just touching my ear, it'd be like, this is getting weird really fast. Like, don't touch my ear, right? An ear is kind of a... ears are personal. But do you know that when you come to the door of serving the Lord, you're giving a personal place over to Him, and you're saying, Lord, I'm going to allow You to touch my ear. Open my ear, Lord. Open my ear so I can hear what You're saying to me, so I can get it right, so I can serve You. And if you'll allow the Lord to do surgery on your ear and give you a hearing ear, which He loves to do, He says the seeing eye and the hearing ear come from God. If you let the Lord give you an open spiritual ear, your life will change like you cannot believe it. God wants to speak to you, but He doesn't want to speak to you so you can do nothing. He wants to speak to you so you'll serve Him. And carry out. And I will say this to you. If you're not serving the Lord, why would God talk to you? So I want God to talk to me. Well, He's not like entertainment. I mean, it's not like He wants to give you your jollies. He will talk to you. He will talk to you. But He expects you to obey Him. To obey what you hear. Those that hear and do the word of God, they are blessed, right? So if we make a fresh commitment of our hearing to the Lord so that we can do Him, this will please the Lord. Over the years, I've noticed as I've served God, there have been times where my hearing gets messed up, where I'm not really hearing the Lord. What causes a shutdown in our ability to hear? What blocks our ability to hear? Let me give you three things that I think would be hopefully helpful to you. First of all, shame will shut down your ear. Sometimes we don't hear because we're so lost in shame. I was talking to a guy recently who made a major mess up in his life. I mean, he blew it bad. This affected his ministry. It affected his marriage. And he was so ashamed. And I kept speaking hope to him. God's a God of restoration. God's a God that can turn things around. Put your trust in the Lord. Dude, it's not the end of your life. You made a mistake, but God's going to restore if you'll trust him. And all he could do because of the shame is he kept repeating how hopeless he was and how useless he was. And he was in such shame that it was closing his ear to the possibility that God could love him and use him. And I will tell you, if you are struggling today with shame, I'm going to guess that you're not hearing much from the Lord. You have to allow the Lord to lift that shame out of your life. After all, that's why Jesus died for you. He died for your sins and my sins. And believe me, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we can stay ashamed, or we can receive the forgiveness that Jesus Christ died to give us. He paid for you to be free. Why aren't you free? He paid for you to hold your head up high. Hold it up high. And as you lift your head out of shame and the sorrow and your foolish mistakes and the times you blew it and you knew better, if you'll get past that through his love and forgiveness, your ear will open and you'll believe, maybe God will speak to me. Maybe I can hear from the Lord. And you'll find a closeness. Look, your shame is not helping you. Throw it off. Let God's love break the shame. Because you're not a piece of garbage. You're a child of God. And he loves you. And he wants to talk to you. Will you receive that? So our shame blocks our hearing. And then sometimes we might be stubborn. Now, probably nobody here today suffers from that tendency to dig in and resist change or to resist what somebody else wants you to do. Probably no one here pushes back when somebody says, let's go this way. Sometimes we get very stubborn and God stops talking to us because actually he is speaking to us, trying to get us to move in a direction, and we start resisting him. And when we get stubborn, it's like our hearing just shuts down. Over the years, I've met people that irritate me, aggravate me, and annoy me. And God has sometimes chosen those very people to speak to me. Over the years, I've been in situations that I did not like the way it was being done. I didn't appreciate how it was happening. And I didn't like the approach. And God was using that experience to talk to me. And because I was being stubborn and making it about people or personalities or styles or preferences, I wasn't hearing the Lord. Here's what I want to say to us. When we are stubborn, when we push back against unusual people or unusual circumstances that God desires to speak to us through, he stops talking. Because we're not listening to the voice of his Spirit. Let me encourage you. Don't resist people who are different than you. Because people who are different from you bring something to the table in your life. People who have a different style and a different approach and a different culture and a different method bring something so valuable to you. Stop resisting that. And learn to listen to what the Lord may be saying through them. And learn to listen to what the Lord may be saying through those difficult circumstances in your own life. Because God wants to touch you and help you through it. Can you receive this? I'm inviting you to come to the door. I'm inviting you to make a lifelong commitment to Jesus. I'm inviting you to walk from the old into the new. And I'm inviting you to let the Lord touch your ear. So you can hear something fresh from him. Will you come to the door? Will you say, Lord, I'll be a person that makes a choice, not because I have to, But because I love you, Lord, I don't want what the world has. I want what only you can give me. If that's your heart, I want you to bow your head and let the Lord bring you to the door. Let's come to the door right now. Let's come to the door. Father in heaven, maybe it means we give up a little of our own freedom. But if instead we find life and relationship with you, it's worth it. We come as people in debt. We owe you a lot, God. But we don't want to serve anymore because we owe you. We want to serve because we love you. And I pray, Lord, for every one of us that you will draw us closer to you than you've ever been. I pray that you will bring every one of us to the door of Jesus, where our hearing opens up, where the blood is applied, our sins are forgiven, and we walk from the old into the new. Bring us to that place of lifelong service for you. The apostles were there. Every one of them said they were a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not forced to, but because they love you. Lord, we love you. And I pray that you'll receive our lives as service in all that we do, in raising our families, in working for employers, in serving in the house of God. Whatever we do, Lord, reaching out to the poor, let us do it not out of guilt, but out of love. And let it be worship. I thank you for this. Just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I wonder if you're here today and you've never received the assurance of salvation. You don't know for sure that your sins are forgiven. You heard today that Jesus died on a cross for you, that your sins could be washed away. But you haven't had that experience. You're not connecting to that. And you'd like to receive Christ. You'd like to make a commitment to Jesus. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you and help you at the door. Because God's going to change your life. He's going to touch you. He's going to do a miracle in your life. I really believe that God is going to really bring you from the old to the new. But it takes your choice. You've got to say, that's me. I want that. I want to give my life to Christ. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just want to encourage you. If you're here, no one's looking around. Christians are praying right now. But if you're a person that's away from God and you want to fix that, you want to give your life to God, you want to be forgiven of your sins, I want to say a prayer for you. Would you lift your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I would never embarrass you. Go ahead, put your hand up just right now. Pastor, pray for me. I need a new life. Yes, I see you. I see you, sir. Thank you for that. Anywhere else, I see three people over there to my right, one toward the back. Let's fix our relationship with God. Thank you over to my left in the far back. Right up against the back wall in the middle. I thank you. You got two hands up. I love it. Total surrender to Jesus. All right, I'm going to pray for these that are lifted their hands. You can put your hands down. Father, I pray in a very special way for these six or eight that have raised their hands. I'm asking you to do the same miracle in them that you did for me when I knew that you loved me and you were taking my sins away. I commit them, Lord, to you. As they give their hearts to you, Jesus, change their lives forever. Thank you, Lord. Just imagine a door in your heart, you that raise your hands. Just let that door in your heart open and let Jesus come in right now. Just say, Lord, come into my heart, come into my soul. Forgive my sins. Thank you, Lord. What a powerful, powerful presence of the Holy Spirit is here today as people make their decisions for God. I love it. It's so precious. Guys, we could go on and on. I got to end the service. Look up at me. I'm going to say a prayer. There were eight people, I think, that raised their hands just now to receive Christ. What do the rest of you think about that? Isn't that awesome? Come on, tell them. Tell them. Hallelujah. Man. You remember when you gave your heart to the Lord and how things changed and how glorious it is. All your sins lift off you. Wow. So special. Those of you that raised your hands, I would love to know about your decision. There's a card right in front of you that says, I've decided. If you'll reach right now, grab that card, put your name on it. Let me know what you've decided. Because in a moment, the offering's going to come by. And I'd love for you to put that card right in that offering container as it comes by. The rest of you, if you're new in the church and you've never done that card, on the other side it says, I'm new here. Could I get you to fill that out right now and just let us know you're new, and we'd love to connect with you, all right? We want to send you some things to help you in your journey of serving the Lord. Right now, we're going to say a prayer together, and then we're going to worship for about 2 minutes. We're going to bring our tithes and offerings to Him, and then I'm going to speak a blessing over you at the end of the service. Our Pastor John is actually today. Could I ask you to look at the screens? And let's let this prayer really speak, come right out of your heart, right up to the Lord God Himself. This is not a ritual. This is you talking to God. Let's make our commitment to the Lord together. Everyone, let's read it out loud. Lord Jesus, thank you for the scars that show your love for me. Today, I make a choice to serve and follow you for the rest of my life. I'm coming to the door, Lord. Place your mark on my life. Bring me into new life. Open my ears so I can hear and obey you. I ask and receive this gratefully in your name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. Thank you, God. All right, the ushers are going to come and serve you in a few minutes. You'll see my friends right up here at the front. They're our prayer warriors, our altar workers, our ministers, a few of our elders will be up here to pray for you and connect with you. If you need any help after the service, folks will be right up here. Let's honor the Lord today with our giving. Thank you for that. Let's let this worship just kind of run down all over our spirits, and I'll be back in just a moment.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Sing it out. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. Oh, still, I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Sing that again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. Come on, let's sing that again. Come on, church, let's stand together. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Yes, great is your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. Oh, you've never failed me yet. You've never
to speak a blessing over you. Just before you go, I want to mention a couple of opportunities for you to connect. You've connected with God here in the service. If you need prayer, our friends are right here. We'd love to pray healing prayer for you. The information about those backpacks you heard earlier in the service is there in the lobby if you want to get involved in helping underprivileged kids get their school supplies together. Connect there at the table and connect with each other. Find somebody that you don't know and just say, how you doing? Get to know one another. Amen. Pastor John wants to invite you to connect with the Gateway Healing Network today at 3.
Amen. Today at 3 o'clock, coming through that door, if you would like prophetic inspiration, you need to hear from God and you'd like to come here, or if you need physical healing and you need a miracle from God, right, and you right. need something to transact, come. If you need to be restored, spiritual freedom, mm-hmm. or in heart healing, come today at 3 o'clock. God will be here to minister through His people.
Beautiful. Special service, right?
It's a special service.
Love it. All right. Speak a blessing over okay. the people. Guys, lift your hands and receive the blessing of the Lord.
May the God of relationships restore, bless, and multiply life-giving relationships in your people, Lord God. May the God of resources abundantly supply all manner of resource
yes,
for his people
yes, Lord.
In all situations. And may the God of revelation open up the window of heaven so that understanding
yes, Lord.
And wisdom and guidance and knowledge of the Lord and of life and truth be so abundant in God's people. In Jesus' name, and all God's people who agreed said, amen.
God
bless you.
God bless you guys. Love you, Pastor John. Love you all. Shake hands. Greet one another. If you need prayer and ministry, come join the folks here at the front. See you next time.